The Peaceful Silence. Glyn Cawk contrasts his positive views of psychic phenomena with mankind's warlike attributes. Recorded on September 17th, 1998.
Now, each issue of the information we tend to have a theme that runs through it. It's not a formal theme.
Okay.
I kind of have a lead article, and I often relate other articles to it.
Sure.
And the first one was the moon landing. The second one we did the cities and stuff like that. This third one, there seems to be an element of war running through it. The lead article I've got is it's about the arms trade and stuff, but we also go off into more esoteric areas, such as weapons like microwave weapons and psi warfare, and this sort of thing. So it'd be interesting to see what you've got to say about anyway, how do I put a question? I don't write down what I say. Anyway, taking it from another angle, you know, you're talking about more positive views of psychic phenomena.
Yes, indeed. Well, I'm quite sure that, well, I think for, depending on what you want to believe about history, I guess, and stories, but I'm quite sure that the power of the mind is something that most of us never really, we certainly don't understand it, and we don't use it that much. We don't think very much. We tend to go along in a, well, I don't know, just doing what everyone else says all the time, I suppose, and not really thinking for ourselves. And quite often we like to get out, perhaps get out in the country, and that gives us time to think. And it can't be any sort of coincidence that a lot of people that have found peace, if you like, and serenity, are people that quite often have got out of the big cities. I mean, take places where they've got monasteries and things like that as an example. Even places where they have sanatoriums are generally up in the mountains or in forests, you know, where it's, well, sort of be natural, I suppose, more natural than perhaps we are when we're rushing about in the town. But I think there's more to it than that, because things that have happened to me, you take for example, I think most people would say that sometimes they've thought about somebody, and then they'll either meet that person, or they'll get a letter from them, or they'll phone them up. Well, it happens to too many people for it to be a coincidence. There must be something there, an element of either you sense that they were going to ring you, or I think, from my own case, I think that you can send out a thought, and that person will hear your thought, if you like. Because thoughts are like, like we talk about material things, they're just another type of energy, in the same way that scientists recognise that we are all just vibrating energy, is that your thoughts are actual things that you send out, much the same as a letter. That's why sometimes, I know I'm not the only one, but you can be singing a song in a quiet room and turn on the radio and the song's on the radio. Well, how did you know it was on?
You subconsciously pick up the actual radio transmission.
Exactly. Device. So somehow, and this is what a lot of, I don't know what you'd call them, gurus and people like that have said, is that you can tune in. It's like the universe is a big radio station, and that there's some way that you can tune in. My own personal opinion is that the best way to tune in is to shut up. Is if you're quiet, then you can listen.
It's getting a lot harder in cities nowadays.
It certainly is. I think from the point of view, if you're in, you know, sometimes people say, so supposing something's make you angry and you sort of, some people say bite your tongue or count to 10. What you actually do is you stop. And it's when you stop that you can take account of what's really going on. And sometimes you realise that you didn't see the whole picture of what was going on. It wasn't such a big deal as you thought. And it's probably other events in your life. Typical example is somebody goes into work, has an argument with someone. But it was nothing to do with that person. It was to do with the fact that they had an argument with their family before they came out. Or the bus driver gave them a bit of stick or something like that. It wasn't normally anything. It was like they were taking it out on someone else. Whereas if they, well, it's like composing yourself, really, I guess. Putting yourself back together again, because sometimes we all sort of fall apart, as they say. So it's finding the way for yourself. In my case, I can't say that I found all the ways, but certainly a lot of my life I'm far more tranquil than I ever used to be. And it's not just because of getting older, although that's something to do with it, but it's also to do with things that I do, such as Tai Chi and spiritual healing.
So do you find that helps keep you sane in a kind of mad world in some ways?
Yeah, I think that I don't see the world as being totally mad. I just think that sometimes it's not our perception, it's not what we would perceive as being what the world should be like. But the bottom line is, that's what life's like at the moment. When it comes down to it, if as a lot of people say, we'd love to change the world, it's not going to be by killing other people and all the rest of it. It's by us, it has to start with us. If we're peaceful, then although you will always get, well, not always, but certainly at the moment, you get some people that just seem to revel in dodgy stuff and violence and all that. But if you're peaceful yourself and calm, then the chances are that you will attract calm things to you. There will be exceptions to everything, there is with every rule. But it's almost like it's a rule of the universe. You sow what you reap, that's an old saying, isn't it? So if we can, well, it's like learning to love everything, really, isn't it? That's what it comes down to. It's finding that it's not all about money and it's not all about possessions. It's about actually communicating. And it can be that you can communicate with your mind. Now, from a positive point of view, if, to use a, I know a lot of people laugh at this, but I do it, and I know a lot of other people do it, when they say wish upon a star, like in the Disney stories and so on. Well, there's no harm in that. I can't see any harm in it. There's no law against it as far as I know. And what's more, who knows? So going back to peoples of thousands of years ago, they would actually, if the stories we read about are true, they believed that they could send out thoughts and they almost didn't have to speak to each other. They used telepathically, you know, that's how they worked. Nowadays, there's so much yapping going on that you can walk down a street and hear 100 conversations in Brighton, and it could drive you mad, really, because some people are talking such a lot of garbage sometimes, but it's because they can't stop talking half the time. It's because they're frightened of silence. There's an old saying on the, I've got it on the wall there. It says, true friendship comes when silence between two people is comfortable.
Do you think maybe this is what we've got televisions on all the time nowadays?
I'm sure it's to do with that, because where I work, the subject of conversation nearly every morning is, it's not so bad actually where I am at the moment, but it certainly used to be. You know, what was on the telly last night, and talking about the characters, and it's almost like taking on their character. And if you're watching, well, I know when I was a kid, I watched horror films, and I had nightmares. I'm not the only one who's had that, I'm sure. So if you watch things that are violent, chances are we've all got that within us. We can't deny it. We're all not black and white, if you know what I mean, yin and yang. So we've got those forces within us, but we can either bring them out more, or we're not suppressing them, or we're taking them over to another side. A bit like they say, there's in the yin and yang sign, there's black in the white and there's white in the black, but there's more black in one side of the yin and yang sign, and there's more white in the other side. In a way, it's your choice. When you turn your television on, it's up to you. But most people just turn it on and it's there, but they don't know what they're taking in. I remember living in a flat at one time in Richmond Road in Brighton, and the couple upstairs used to have absolutely violent rows, and I noticed that it was particularly after EastEnders was on, and this was years ago when EastEnders, I've watched it a few times now and again, and quite frankly it's funny, but at one time it was non-stop arguing. Well, if you invite arguments into your home, chances are you're going to start arguing. It's natural. So,
yeah, soap operas in particular are quite dangerous in a way. They do, because they're on so often in the week they do become almost a surrogate reality.
I think so.
And you can kind of, they almost unfold in real time.
Yeah.
When you follow them week to week.
Yeah.
And it does seem a kind of, almost a kind of brainwashing of the population. I'm not saying it's a conspiracy type.
I'm sure it's not something like that.
By a slow degree, a lot of these things seem to be doing that, though, and it's quite sad.
It is that, but I'm sure that as time goes on, because there seems to be more things on television and in the newspapers, and there seems to be a lot more talk about what we might call spiritual things. There's different definitions for that. I'm sure there's a bandwagon thing going on with the spiritual business, but then it's like they say, if you mention it, where you sow a seed sort of thing. But really, if we accept that we're not the only things in this universe, and certainly we've had to accept that over the last few years, whereas at one time we thought this was the world and that was it, suddenly we know that there's all this planets and stars and everything else out there. And so in the same way that we're finding life under the sea, in the earth still, that we never knew about, so I'm convinced in myself that there's other dimensions of life, and that somehow they can communicate with us, but it's only if we wish them to. If we say we're all right and we're self-sufficient, then they're not going to interfere. But at the same time, most people recognize, they'd call, you know, talk about Mother Earth. The Earth's a live thing, and if we deface it, the Earth will have to fight back. It's natural.
Natural disasters.
Yeah, will do. Well, I mean, obvious things are ozone layers and stuff like that. You can't keep on taking more out of something and harming things, really. Harming whole forests, animals that live in it, everything that's attached to that. It has to come back, because you've taken away something that was already there, that was had a right to be there. We've all got a right to be here. I believe that. And you know, even from a purely point of view of oxygen and things like that, it's obvious what's going on. I mean, there's some cities in this world that you have to wear breathing masks in. Well, that can't be natural, I don't think, can you?
So it's this kind of industrial military complex agenda of progress and growth, and they know these problems exist, but they're not really trying to tackle them.
I'm sure that
spiritual.
There's something happening with people that, I suppose it's a survival thing as well. The bottom line is that if we carry on as we are, a lot of people are going to die even more from what we're doing to the Earth. So, well, unless we're totally stupid, we're going to do something about it. From a simple point of view, even though some people won't find this a simple thing to do, I know, because they can't seem to do it, is if people just sat still for a little while and thought about what they were doing, they might not do what they do all the time.
I think that's where this kind of workaholic culture is so much against the idea that if you stop the job, it's like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
That you might even be, you know, chilling out, growth phrase or whatever. You might be, as a result of just pausing, doing your job better because you've got your mind clearer.
Indeed.
And I've seen a lot of this certainly in the graphics industry years ago. It's like you had to keep going even if you better mess it up almost,
yeah,
just
know.
To make you look like you were working, you know.
Well, there's a time and a place for everything, but I think that even a simple thing like breathing, which we take for granted, I mean, something that I've been taught in Tai Chi, and it's taught in loads of things, yoga as well, I think, is that if you just put your tongue on the top of your mouth and take deep breaths right down into your stomach and just do that, you wouldn't, nobody would see that you were taking time out, so to speak, even though this is your time. And it would just help to relax people, I'm certain of it. And that's the cause of a lot of, well, we know that that's the cause of a lot of illness. Stress is the cause of, I don't know, I won't put a percentage on it, but a great percentage of illness is caused by stress. So I don't personally want to be ill, and I'm sure other people don't want to. And sometimes it's because people have sort of said, well, that's a crazy idea just to do that. But all I'm saying to people is suck it and see. If you don't give it a try, then you'll never know.
It's better than having those medicines, isn't it?
I think so. So indeed. There's much more natural ways of doing things. It's like they say, this business with herbs and homeopathy and all the rest of it is not an alternative. It's a complementary thing. There are some things that are done in the medical, I mean, they've made great strides in it, but the use of things to suppress things is not what will cure them, because they'll only come out somewhere else. It's like having a balloon and pushing in one side of it. It will press the air out some. It's the air with us. Somehow, when we're ill, it's our body's way of saying, do something about it. It's not saying, suppress it. It's not asking for suppression, it's asking for healing. Same as the earth with volcanoes and all the rest of it. It's like, you know, you can't keep on hurting yourself. You can't keep doing it. It's not a wise move anyway.
Yeah, I was talking to someone yesterday about similar subjects to this. It came out with some very interesting points, one of which was talking about the background level of radiation from the sun, and obviously we do get a lot of inspiration from the sun.
Sure.
But apparently the radiation it gives out does actually affect our mind. And at night, when the sun sets, it's a poetic image of the sunset, but also very literally, the earth blocks the radiation because it's this massive
rock.
You know, and this is why apparently people get more ideas at night, because it's not just a weird thing. It's literally because the background level of radiation goes down, and you are hearing silence in this sort of ether.
Right.
It's a very interesting point.
Yeah, it would make sense, wouldn't it?
It does make sense, and when you dream, what he was saying is that brain is almost doing kind of an MOT on the body and checking over.
Yeah.
I mean, like if you have a spot or something like that, it heals at night, not in the day.
Right.
And these things are sort of checked up as you dream. And this is when the background level radiation is down, the mind can do this and go through the system and suss it all out. It's an interesting angle.
It is. Because there's something else really that is not. Not a lot of people think about it, because we often think about the rays of the sun having an effect on us, but don't forget that the moon has its own pull on us as well. I mean, that's well recognized, isn't it?
Gravity tides, isn't it?
Yeah, and of course we're made up mostly of water, so we're going to be affected by it as well. So the moon's got its own beams that are coming down on us as well. Some people are strongly affected by it. I mean, I met somebody recently and they said that their relative used to actually, what was the word? Bay, I think was the word she used, like a wolf at full moon. He actually used to go out in the garden and do that. Well, that's an extreme case.
Was that just taking the mickey sort of thing?
No, he did it.
He couldn't help it.
He couldn't help it. It was part of, he was like a wolf. That was the wolf side part of him, which were all made up of the same thing anyway. But he was more like a wolf at full moon than perhaps you or I might be. But I mean, most of us are affected in some way. I know sometimes I've thought I've felt odd in years gone by at certain times. And quite often it's been attached to a full moon. And it hasn't made me go sort of balmy, if you like. I don't want to use that word horribly, but it hasn't. It's just something's not quite right. It's a slight imbalance, if you like, a bit sort of disoriented. And I know that loads of other people I've spoken to have said exactly the same thing. Of course, women's cycles and all that, all of it's to do with the same stuff. So, I think it's natural. And I think the thing is that perhaps we've looked at scientific points of view too much sometimes and forgotten about our own sense. How do we feel about something rather than what should we feel about it? Know, what are we told in magazines we should be like? It's a bit like the song, isn't it? I can't get no satisfaction, you know. Really, what it comes down to, I guess, I think, is that you have to be true to yourself and follow your own heart.
If you don't get those moments of silence, you won't know yourself, will you?
You won't.
I think this is a problem that happens that you've had made time in your own life to think these things through and find that.
Yeah. You do have to make the time. I mean, when it comes down to it, you live one. You don't. When you go to sleep, you're as good as dead, basically, aren't you?
Yeah. This tape boy's dead.
And
turn that over.
Nah, that's all right. But you have. Well, I think that the wisest way is to live one day at a time. You can't do any. One of the best sayings that I've heard in years recently was I went to a film called 7 Years in Tibet. And there was a bit in it where the star of it, I'm not sure who it was now, Brad Pitt was it? But anyway, he met this like Buddhist Lama who was only a young kid, as they always seem to be. And he said, well, how is it you people keep so calm? And he said, well, let me put it like this. If you've got a problem that you know the answer to, you've got nothing to worry about. And if you've got a problem that you don't know the answer to, you've got nothing to worry about. And if you think about it, it makes sense. Because if you don't know the answer, what's the point of worrying? And if you do know the answer, then you can fix it. So there's nothing to worry about. So I think that's a pretty sound way. I can't say I do it all the time. I'm like everyone else sometimes and sort of think, what about this, what about that? But it's getting a balance right. We're only living here at the moment. We're all going to pass on from here, whatever people think about death and all the rest of it. Why not just try to be peaceful while we live here? Because it'll spread. But one thing's for certain, if we're warlike, we'll only create more wars.